Our time with God is a critical part of our life. We were created for God. We were created for fellowship with Him. So when we talk about this matter of prayer, we are talking about the very essence of why we are on this planet and why Christ died for us so that we could be rescued from our sin and our judgment. And so it's a wonderful thing to realize that we can actually communicate with the God of the universe. And we have that privilege if we know Him as Savior. And if we do not, we can cry out to Him and He will save us if we will trust Him. But prayer is so important. The great revivalist of the early 1800s, Charles Finney, said, "Prayer bathes the soul in an atmosphere of the divine presence." The great reality of having a genuine time with God. Now, what we've been doing throughout the fall here is going step by step through the different parts of the Christ Walk Journal, the Hour with God pattern, and going into more depth so that we can all grow in each of those 5-minute or 10-minute sections as we follow that type of a pattern, and to be able to understand how that progression does impact and enhance our spiritual life. The hour starts with worship and praise. The wonderful opportunity for us to spend 5 minutes at least thinking of the attributes of our God and allowing the Spirit of God to lift us in praise to the God of the universe. And that helps get the distractions out of our mind as we go from looking at ourselves and our circumstances and look to the reality of our God. And then, that next 5 minutes, waiting on God. Be still and know that I'm God. As we focus on the Father, on the Son, and on the Spirit, and we think of what we have in Him and in each of the persons of the Godhead and what that relationship means to us. And it's wonderful as we meditate on what the Father does for us, what the Son has done and is doing, and what the Spirit of God means to us. And then we're ready for the 5 minutes on confession. Number one, our hearts are aware of how hideous sin is and we're willing to deal with it. But we also realize that we have a God who, if we'll confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we can leave with a clean heart. Then we're ready to begin to move forward so that an impact can occur for others because of our prayer time. In the next 5 minutes is spiritual warfare, as we realize that we are in a spiritual battle, but we are in union with the one who's already won the battle, and if we are yielded to Him, we can now resist the devil and he will flee from us. And we can come out of those 5 minutes with great encouragement, knowing that the battle has been won and is continuing to be won because of our position in Christ. Then the promises of God. Past prayer times, past times of meditating upon truth, as we have had the Lord apply truth, principles, and promises to our hearts, we write those things down, we meditate upon them, and they are going to become the basis then for the next 10 minutes, which is intercession and petition. Here we call upon God for those that we love, people that we know, but we are now assured because our relationship is right with God, and we are assured because of what the Word of God says, that God's going to work, the Spirit of God is able to lead, and I'm telling you, that 10 minutes goes by very quickly as the list of people that we're burdened for, God quickens our hearts, and we realize that we've met with God and things are going to change. God is working in the heavenlies to meet the need of these folks, and then the petitions for our need. He'll meet our daily bread needs, as the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer says, and He'll supply all of our needs. And that's a wonderful thing to finish that time knowing that we have met with God. Then the Thanksgiving time, and that's what we looked at last week. It's wonderful to thank God, of course, for all the wonderful things He's done, but to thank God for the trials, because He's doing the very thing we're wanting God to do in our lives. And we're able to thank God for the prayer we just prayed and know that God's going to answer. By the way, you need to thank and praise Him before you ever see it, and believe that God does answer prayer. I'm telling you, folks, by the time that 40 minutes is over, if you've had the Spirit of God working in your heart, it is a tremendous time with the Lord. But now we go into a very vital part. That's meditation and discovery. This is at least 10 minutes. And this is where we take a section of our Bible reading and we communicate with God and allow God to communicate with us. Read a passage of Scripture and meditate on what it means for your daily life. Here is where we now, because we already are walking with God, we are able to have this interaction with Him. Mortimer J. Adler, in his book, How to Read a Book, has observed that there's one time that people read something for all they're worth. That's when they're in love and they're reading a love letter. They read every word three ways. They read between the lines and in the margins. They read the whole in terms of the parts and each part in terms of the whole. They grow sensitive to context and ambiguity, to insinuation and implication. They perceive the color of the words, the order of phrases, and the weight of sentences. They may even take the punctuation into account. Then, if never before or after, they read carefully and in depth. Ever been there? Just thinking about that a little bit. I'll tell you a secret, it's my wife's birthday today, and I was thinking about her, and yes, I remember I did some great meditation and study. I did meditation and discovery on those love letters, and that was wonderful. But folks, that's what we're talking about. We're not just talking about reading a book. We're not even trying to get the facts. We are talking about communicating with a God that loves us, and we need to love Him. And I'm telling you, folks, this is a very special time between you and your God to meditate upon His Word. Other books, one writer says, were given for our information. The Bible was given for our transformation. God has done so much for us, and He wants to take His words and use that to build our faith and to work His grace in our lives. A new Christian heard the preacher Lehman Strauss tell about the fact that he had in bold letters on the spine of his Bible printed the Word of God. And that idea made a real impression on this young Christian. He decided then, if my new Bible ever needs rebinding, I'm going to do the same. And he says, five bindings later, every time I've had the Word of God placed upon that spine of my Bible, because it is not a book, it is the Word of God. And so it is wonderful to spend time, obviously, every day reading the Word of God, but in your prayer time, to take His words and allow God to work in your heart, and you then communicate back to Him, realizing that this is the divine revelation of Almighty God, and it is for His communication to us. Now, we've got 3 points today that you already know. Discover, obey, share. So let's look at the first point, discover. As you read the truth, look for a key verse. As you're reading, communicate with the Lord about what you are reading. As you read the truth, look for a key verse. As you're reading, communicate with the Lord about what you are reading. Joshua was about to go into the land and take the people of Israel, at least a couple million strong, if you can imagine leading that kind of group, into a very hostile place. And God had anointed him the leader. And this is what the Lord said to him, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Folks, the key to life is this book. Everything you need to know about life is right here. This is the revelation from the very heart of God. You would never know this unless God gave it to you from the innermost part of His heart. He did that by miraculous inspiration, and every facet, every angle of our life is covered in the Word of God. And if we will take time to meditate, we're going to have all that we need to meet every need of our life. It is one of the most thrilling things when you get a hold of that. Meditate means to ponder, imagine, meditate, mutter, keep going over something, repeat it and repeat it in your mind until you truly understand it. And that's what this meditation time is all about. Psalm 119:15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. You notice in Joshua 1:8, it was meditate so that you can observe. In Psalm 119:15, meditate so you can respect his ways. And then the wonderful Psalm 1, the preface to the Psaltery, verses 2 and 3, but his delight, that is the man who is blessed by God, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I've been in a lot of deserts and seen really bedraggled-looking trees, and if you see by a river of water those beautiful trees that come up fully nourished and hydrated as they ought to be. That's what happens when you spend time in the Word. When we think of a man who was known for his ability to pray and have answers to pray, we probably, most of us, would say George Mueller. God allowed his life to be a real testimony. And I don't think oftentimes people realize that Scripture was a key part of his actual prayer time. He said, the result I have found to be almost invariably this, that after a few minutes my soul has been led to confession or to thanksgiving or to supplication, so that though I did not, as it were, give myself to prayer but to meditation, yet it turned almost immediately more or less into prayer. So here you are in a prayer time, which he was in, then he'd meditate on the Word of God, and that he would immediately go back to praying. Everything he was reading turned into communication with his God. And it was based then upon truth. And God was quickening. He was discovering truth. And therefore, he knew what he was praying was being led by the Spirit of God. And he knew that God was going to work. When thus I had been for a while making confession or intercession or supplication or have given thanks, I'd go on to the next words or verse, turning all as I go into prayer. For myself or others, and how true it is. You cannot separate the two. And that's why in this hour with God, we highly encourage a time of genuine meditation in prayer on the Word of God. Let God speak to you through His Word and talk to Him about it. So a couple of things here, very simple. Write out a key verse. What does it say? There on those journal pages, if you happen to have a Christ Walk journal, you will see that section that is highlighted there on the journal pages. And that is an opportunity for you to spend 10 minutes after you have come to a verse or verses that you really want to meditate on to be able to do something about it and to journal how God is working in that. And so what you want to do is to take the verse and write it out. I have found, I remember when we first started doing this, I was not in the practice of doing it, but I found taking the discipline to actually write out Scripture really helped me stop and think about it. You know, we don't write today. We type today, or we talk into our devices. We don't write. But there is a connection between writing and comprehension. And I would encourage you to do that. Now, three things that we encourage you in your Bible studies like you had this morning and in your Christ Walk journal to do when you are looking at the key verse is to ask yourself, what's happening in the passage? What do we discover about God from it? And what do we discover about people in it? Turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 2. I'm going to give you my meditation and discovery from this morning. I'm just going to lay it out. In fact, I did not, when I did my time, I wasn't thinking about doing this. So this just comes directly out of my own heart, and this is what I did before I ever thought about communicating it. I did think about it once I got to the share section. We'll get to that in a minute there. Not till that point. Let me just, as you're turning there, Wilbur Smith, who was a tremendous Bible teacher, when talking to folks about Bible study, said we should be careful not to give all of our time just to reading the Word to see how much we can cover. Now, by the way, I think you ought to cover a lot of volume of reading God's Word. get through the Bible every year. Some people get through the Bible 3, 4, 5 times a year. That is great. But not just that. He talks about, but after reading a portion, we should carefully, prayerfully turn it over in our minds and appropriate it in our hearts. And that is what we're talking about here in this case. Well, today's reading in our church Bible reading was Hebrews chapter 2. And we are looking in this first part of Hebrews at the Lord Jesus and how he is the one who chapter 1 verse 3 is the one that is God. Actually, you go back to verse 2 of chapter 1, hath in these days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So who is Jesus? The Creator, God. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, that's what Christ did. He became a man, a genuine man, yet still God, still had his glory, but he purged our sins by taking our place on the cross and then proving it by coming bodily out of the grave. When he had done that, he has sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That's who we're talking about right now. So, we got to ask ourselves when we get to a verse, what is happening in this passage? And we're dealing with Christ and his relationship to us and who he is. There's many things I could say here, but the Lord touched my heart in chapter 2 with verses 11 and 12, especially verse 12. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. Who's he that sanctifieth? The Lord Jesus. He has set us apart from sin forever because of his work on the cross. He is now setting us apart from sin through his ongoing work in our lives through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then we go on in verse 11, that we are all one, for which he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Folks, that's us. This one who is at the majesty on high, he who forever is the glorified Son of God, he is not ashamed to call us his family. Isn't that wonderful? You see, when you're saved, you're born again. You are into the family of God forever. My friend, have you ever been born again? I'm not talking about a religious experience. I'm talking about truly trusting God and in him alone, realizing that his work on the cross is the only way you can be saved. And he will save you, and you will be born again. And we become the brethren of God. Verse 12, saying, here's the verse I meditated on, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Well, what are we going to learn about God here? We have seen that Christ, the Creator God, came to taste death and judgment for us. He's the captain of our salvation. That is in verses earlier there. He is giving us the victory of sanctification in our lives, and he's not ashamed to call us brethren. That's a tremendous set of things of what's going on. But what do we learn about God? Well, the one thing we learn about God is he really loves us. And he has sacrificed for us. And God the Father did a wonderful work in sending his Son, and his Son in forever being identified with us. What a God we have. God is love. And you could meditate on that quite a bit. Then what do we discover about people from it? Well, for the main thrust here in the passage, if you're saved, you're part of the family of God. If I'm saved, I'm part of the same family you're part of. We're brethren. You can't say sistern. We are brothers and sisters together here. And we're all one family, all right? And so that's a wonderful thing. That changes how we view other believers. Do you realize that we have a very real obligation to represent Christ to one another, to minister to Christ, as I'm going to mention here in this passage, and that I must view every other believer as equally important in the plan of God, and I need to treat them with respect. I need to treat them with a desire to be an encouragement and to have the overflow of God's presence touch their life. And that's what spiritual gifting is all about. There's a lot of things that could be said there. And so I need to keep that in mind. By the way, I also need to realize that Jesus died for everybody and he wants them to be part of his family. Certainly another important application from that. All right, how do we put this all together? Well, look at verse 12. Jesus is saying, I will declare thy name. Whose name? The Father's name among the brethren. I will declare thy name among the brethren. In the midst of the church, that's where the brethren gather. That's where we are gathered here today in the assembly, the called out assembly. Will I, who's I? Jesus. Sing praise unto thee. I tell you what, I had a good time this morning thinking about this. This is before I thought about talking to you all about it. I thought, you know, when we have the Spirit of God working in our services, we're hearing Jesus sing. I've mentioned that before. I heard Jesus sing this morning. You see, he was praising the Father in the midst of the church through Spirit-filled believers who were singing, empowered by God, in praise to the Father. By the way, folks, we are not performing when we do music here. This isn't about an emotional experience. Our audience in our hymn service and in all the special music is God the Father. And we are to be empowered by the Spirit to have the Lord Jesus be able through us to glorify, to encourage one another, and to glorify the Father. Boy, that changes what you do with music. It really does. That helps develop a philosophy of music, but that's not my purpose here. And so that's what I was thinking about, is the fact that in the times that we meet together, God the Son empowers through the Spirit of God his people to glorify the Father through the assembly of the church, and here specifically in the hymn making, the singing of the great hymns. Now, we are to, once we have written the verse and we've meditated on it, what's happening in this passage? What do we learn about God? What do we learn about people from it? By the way, there's a lot there I was just talking about. Could you not spend way more than 10 minutes just thinking about one verse there? I mean, there's angles on that are glorious. But once you have really gotten a hold of those three questions, then the second thing in this matter of meditating is rewrite the verse in your own words. What does it mean? If you put the pages back up there, you'll see there are two sections on the prayer journal pages. One is to write the verse out. That's the top part of the yellow box. And then to rewrite the verse, that's the second section in that box. And you rewrite it in your own words. You can pray like the psalmist did in Psalm 27, 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. I need to know your word. And so I wrote this morning in my journal from verse 12, the Savior is constantly glorifying the Father to us as his brethren in the middle of his church by using singing and worship to accomplish this. And so that was how I just came through it, that the Lord Jesus is, when his people gather together, he is declaring the greatness of God, the Father, and he is doing it through the worship of the church. That's what it says. And I'm telling you, that was encouraging to me, because obviously I'm focused on the worship of the church when the church gathers together. That's very, very important. So that's how I wrote that down. And so that's the first thing to do, is to discover. Now, folks, what we're talking about here is an interaction between you and God. Is this just a book? No, it's inspired by. And the author is where? In you, if you're saved. The Holy Spirit is the one who inspired the Scriptures, and He is the one who illumines the Scriptures. So as you sit there in your quiet place, and you've opened your heart to God, and you've had 40 minutes, you've been able to do all of that, and your heart is warmed by the reality of your time with the Lord, as you open the Scriptures, the Spirit of God, the author Himself, will open up the Scripture to you. And folks, it is an interaction. It is a genuine meeting with God spiritually. Now beware of looking for emotion. Boy, sometimes I had some emotion this morning, I have to admit it. But not always. But your spirit gets blessed. That's truth. That's reality. God showed me that. I just love it when all of a sudden, oh yeah, yeah. Why hadn't I thought of that? That is tremendous. Well, the author knows, and he gives it to you. That's why it's so exciting to take the time, especially in the context of prayer, and talk to the Lord about it. And so we interact with the Lord, and then we obey. And here's the key. You can have a wonderful one time with the Lord in meditation, but you know why you may not have it the second and third time? You didn't obey what He told you the first time. And so your heart is no longer as open as it was because you resisted what He told you to do. The pathway of simple blessing is the pathway of just simple obedience. Oh, listen, the Spirit of God is able. If you walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You have everything you need in the divine presence of God in your life and the divine revelation that He has given us to live in victory. So obeying isn't that hard. It's just we have to decide to do it and follow through specifically and not listen to our flesh. We can have great victory. And so in this matter of obeying, we need to first of all ask ourselves, how does the truth in this Bible passage change how we see God, how we treat others, and how we live? Now, if you're in our Bible studies, does that sound familiar? Okay. Take the same principles from your group Bible study right over into your personal study. It's not in those sheets, but it's good for you to have that pattern in our life. How do I see God? Do I really see Him as loving? I'm going back now to the Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. Do I see Him as really caring about me and that God is worthy of praise? How do I view my brethren? Do I come into a service and realize every Christian there is important and it is my privilege and it's my responsibility to represent Jesus to them? As 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, I should have the fragrance of Christ in my life. People should be much better off after they have been around me because I've been able through the reality of Christ in me to point them to the Savior. And so then in that kind of a perspective in the area that you're looking at in the Word of God, then how am I living and what do I need to change? I won't read the whole two verses there, but in Romans 16, verses 25 and 26, God has given us the truth, Paul says, at the very end there, for the what? Obedience of faith. And that's where the rubber meets the road. And so, you know, it's one thing to be enjoying a passage of Scripture. It's another thing to say, all right, how does this apply to me? And Christian, it's not rocket science how to grow. You don't have to wait till Sundays or revival meetings or great conferences. You can have a conference with God day by day if you'll take that time with the Lord, take that hour with God, and in that time, meditate with the Spirit of God working in your heart to allow you to not only understand the truth and let the truth get a hold of your heart, but then say, Lord, what would you have me to do? What does this mean for me? And you can that day take a step forward in obedience that will not only enable you in that area, but it'll just encourage your heart in every other area. See, when you have a heart to obey, then you have a heart to obey in every area. And that kind of, you know, like a child, when they obey their mom in one thing, they just have an open heart to obey throughout the day unless they disobey. That's why It's very important that when we know something to do, we ought to do it. So the second thing here in this matter of obey is, what must I do to obey? We need to write an I will statement that is practical and measurable in 24 to 48 hours. What must I do to obey? Well, I need to write an I will statement that is practical and measurable in 24 to 48 hours. Vance Havner noted, speaking of the Great Commission, that was the message of the Savior after his resurrection, and he says, "Our Lord bade us go not merely to teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you, but to teach them to observe, obey all these things." So the minute the Lord teaches us through preaching, through teaching, or in our own personal discovery time something, then that's what the Lord has commanded. That's the Great Commission. We are to observe everything we know that has been now applied to our lives. Psalm 119:11, I think we could all quote it. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that," say it with me, "I might not sin against God." We have the word so that we will have victory. So, what was my I will statement this morning? You could come out with several. But mine was, I will make a purpose in my heart to sing yielded to the Spirit so that Christ can sing through me to the praise of the Father. I made a purpose decision. I will sing yielded to the Spirit so that Christ can sing through me to the praise of the Father. You know, some of you here say, you know, I can't sing. I don't have a very good voice. The Lord Jesus has a great voice. And I don't say that disrespectful. He really does. Can you imagine when we get to heaven and he sings? Oh, my. I mean, we'll just, I mean, it's a good thing we have glorified bodies. We couldn't take it. Our hearts would just burst when we hear. He sings. God created singing. And it's going to be glorious. But, you know, I have found that Christians who start singing with their hearts full, they do pretty well. And for those of you that still doesn't help, a joyful noise still is biblical. So you need to be singing, and that'll work. But that was my I will statement. Now I want to tell you, I know Pastor Van always follows the theme and does everything he can to back up what I'm doing for preaching, but I had not looked ahead to see exactly what was this morning. I could hardly take it this morning because I kept making decisions. I had an I will statement. And we got to "How great thou art." Oh, my. I tell you, I said, "Lord, sing through me." And it was just glorious. Every one of those hymns and every aspect of it this morning, my little I will statement, hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm filled, my cup's full. And it came out of my devotional time. And folks, you know, that's what we need. And I hear it so often. Wouldn't it be wonderful if 100% of believers in this auditorium were right with God and the Spirit of God was working and we allowed Jesus to sing through us? Whoa. A lot of that time, a lot of people are, and that makes a difference. And by the way, when you're not willing to sing, it does say something. It does say something. And I love it when I see children sing. I love it when I see teens sing. Thank God for you teenagers. You sing your hearts out, and that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And so we need to come up with an I will statement. If we can go back to the pages there, you will see that the next section we're going to look at next week is is the matter of listening to the Lord. And in there is where you put, before you get to that section, while you're going through the meditation and discovery section, you put your I will statement. So I wrote that statement that I gave to you. I wrote that out in that box so that when I got to the listening time, I was ready to ask God to enable me to do that. And then I was asking him other things, and I'll talk about that in our next message. But that's where you put your I will statement. So that right hand of the journal is a very important interaction between you and God. And can I say, if you're using a journal, don't skip it, don't skip it, don't skip it. Get into the habit of, I just don't write things down. Well, even old horses can change. Okay, now, come on. We can learn new tricks. I told you I didn't do this. And I'm glad I am, day after day. It's been wonderful. And so let's enjoy our time with the Lord. It makes all the difference. Well, we have discover, obey. What's the final part? Share. All right, if you'll notice on those sheets, if you can bring the next one up, that next to the listening section where you have your I will statement is who you're going to share this with. So let's go back to the previous slide. Who needs to hear the truth I learned today? Write an I will share statement that identifies who you seek to speak to today. All right, who needs to hear the truth that God just dealt with me about, that I learned today? And I will write an I will statement as to whom that identifies who you are going to speak to today. And you do that right at that same time. It can be during the listening section, as we'll talk about next week, but it's important to have that share part there. Guess what was in mine? Church for my message. That was an easy one today. And so it was right there. I'll show you. Yeah, and I wrote that down. It clicked. Oh, this is what you need to do. You're going through this. Just take this and share it with them. So what you need to do is, first of all, summarize the truth that you have learned so that it can be shared. You know, you get an impression of truth, but then it's a little hard to share it. You need to write down, crystallize it like your I will statement, and then think it through about how can it be a bridge statement to someone that I can be an encouragement to that is saved, or great opening way for you to have something for someone who needs to hear the gospel. We work on those in our group Bible studies, as you know, those bridge statements. And it's wonderful how many people use that. You know, it's wonderful when you say, you know, this morning I was meeting with the Lord and the Lord showed me this. I just want to share this with you. This is really a neat truth. The person's not saved, but they think, wow, this guy has a relationship with the Lord. I might ought to listen to him. And many times it can be a very wonderful open door to share the truth with them. Psalm 119, 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Oh, we need to decide we're going to talk about God. You know, every day you ought to find somebody to share about how God's working in your life and share with them how God's working, because we want to be a blessing to one another, and it'll also crystallize in your mind. You know what the great joys that preachers have? Once we've preached it, we got it a whole lot better than we had it when we just studied it. When I get to preach something several times, I really get it. And that's why you need to do it. My dad, every Friday or Saturday, he'd bring me in his office when I was his associate, and he'd sit me down and he would talk through the message with me. Why'd he do that? He was excited about the truth, but he also was crystallizing it in his mind by verbalizing it. And so we need to share the truth. And so we need to summarize it. And then we need to ask the Lord to reveal the person who needs the truth today. We need to ask the Lord. And you know, he'll do it. Maybe somebody hadn't even thought of. You need to call so-and-so. You need to see if you can chat with your neighbor today. This might just be a help to them. I tell you, when God prompts you, that's God. And if God prompts you, you'll have the power of God to do it. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. J. Wilbur Chapman, the famous evangelist, said that the New Testament records tell of 40 people, each suffering from the same disease, who were healed by Jesus. Of the number, 34 were either brought to Jesus by friends or he was taken to them. In only 6 cases out of 40 did the sufferers find the way to Jesus without assistance. It's very interesting. And everybody knew about Jesus, but it still took somebody that shared, I met Jesus, he's got what you need, and went to the effort to bring them. And oh, if we could be like, you know, so often we think somebody professional as far as in the ministry can be the one to talk about the Lord. L.C. Hester of Whitehorse, Texas, he's a plumber, and he packs a New Testament with his tools every day. He is known as the witnessing plumber. Pastor said of him, that witnessing plumber has won hundreds to Christ since he became a Christian. Many will listen to a working man like him when they won't listen to a preacher. And that is very true. you've got something to share. You've got good news. That's what the gospel means, and how important it is that we have that heart. So folks, as we're praying, we've got to make sure that we incorporate, really throughout the entire hour, but especially in this 10 minutes, a time in which we really allow God to speak to us, and then we respond to Him, and we talk to Him. Folks, it is vital, vital, vital that you learn to have a conversation with God. Prayer is not a one-way street either way. It is a two-way conversation. And with Bible in hand, with a structure similar to what we're talking about, you can actually finish your time with God and know, I have had a meeting with deity. And I know what to do. I have been given direction. We'll talk about that next week. God is leading in my life. I have chosen to obey Him. I am on a divine mission, and I want to glorify Him. I have a great God. That's what will happen. And I trust you'll get into the place of meditating and discovering the truth of God's Word. Let's bow for prayer. As we bow before the Lord here, my friends, trust you'll just search your own heart. How is your relationship with the Lord? You were made for fellowship with Him. Are you truly fellowshipping? I'm not just talking about a quick little prayer. I'm talking about a time in which you really seek the Lord, and then you get into His Word, and you allow the Word to communicate with you, and you have an ongoing conversation with Him, yielding to His leadership, obeying Him, and letting God transform your life. It's not just to inform us, as the one writer said, it is to transform us. And you'd say, Pastor, you know, you may read the Bible, you may have some extended time of prayer, but you'd say, you know, I am not engaging in a real encounter with God daily like I should, to where I am meditating on the Word of God, I bring it to the place of understanding, and I go beyond that to a clear-cut decision to obey and follow the leadership of the Lord. The Spirit of God touched my heart this morning that this needs to be far more an integral part of my daily life. What a privilege it is for me to be able to go to God. I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm on my way to heaven. But I'm not encountering God as I should, and I realize I'm shortcutting this matter of meditation and discovery. And God's touched my heart to realize it's a very key, basic part of my relationship with Him, and I would ask you to pray for me. Would you just slip your hand up as heads are bowed as a believer if God's touched your heart about truly meditating, truly getting hold of God, truly making those decisions and keeping them? Are you obeying your I will statements? You might say, Pastor, pray for me. I write them down, but I'm not obeying them like I should. I'm not meditating. I'm not letting God transform me. Thank the Lord for those that raise their hand. Now, friend, you may be here today, and you'd say, you know I should be in the Bible, but it just seems like it's such a closed book to me. Well, it could well be that you've never come to know the author in saving faith. We're not talking religion here. We are talking about a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ, to know Him. And that can only happen when you have understood you're lost. We're all sinners. We all deserve God's judgment in hell. And that's why Jesus Christ came. We'll be celebrating Christmas soon. He became a man, yet God. And He lived a perfect life so that He could die on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. And He did just that 2,000 years ago. And every sin represented in this building, Jesus Christ paid for. He rose again in great power. And the Bible says if you'll call upon Him, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It's not what we do, it's what He's already done. And you'd say, Pastor, my heart yearns to have a relationship with God, but I'm not certain I've been born again. And I really need to, along with these others that admitted their need, I need to admit my need. And I'm not afraid to ask you to pray for me. We're not going to point you out. We'll just pray for you and ask God to work in your heart. Anyone like that, just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, that's me. I don't know what would happen if I were to die. I'm really burdened. God bless you, dear folks. All right, who else? Yes, God bless you. God's working in my heart. I would love to have that kind of relationship. Yes, God bless you, and God bless you. All right. Thank the Lord for each of you here this morning. Would you pray for me, Pastor? I want to have that genuine family relationship with God. I need him. Would you pray for me? Lord, you've seen the many hands here, and I pray that you will work in hearts. Thank you for your presence here today. And Lord, I pray that these that are very burdened about meditating and truly discovering truth and walking by faith, Lord, would you give them victory? May they understand what this means. It's not just some little method. It's just encountering you by divine faith, by opening their hearts to you. Would you give them the victory they're asking for? And then, Lord, several raise their hand. They're not certain of salvation. Lord, these dear people, would you help them, just like all of us have had to be helped to understand what it means to simply put their faith in you? And Lord, I ask that even right now, this would be the time that would be settled for eternity. Would you give a real victory here today in each of these lives? And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.